And I just wish to speak very, very briefly about the precious name of Jesus. And I have to say at the beginning, and I ask myself, the Gospels, but probably even more for the one who speaks, the preacher, how precious is that name to be? With so many other names, so many other things in this world, how precious is the name of Jesus? Let me look just very briefly as well at that name of Jesus, what it means. Just got three scriptures to have a look at and one to close with, which we'll look at later on. If you could go to the first with me to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, page 1418. For context, I just want to read from verse 5, Philippians chapter 2, page 1418. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem an object of opinion to be on equality with God, entered himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, and having been found in a figure as man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him and granted him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God the Father's glory. Two really short scriptures, if you could look please in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, page 1306, verse 11. He is the stone which has been set at naught by you the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And salvation is in no other, for neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. And then finally, in Romans, that's Romans chapter 10, and page 1361. Romans chapter 10, page 1361. I'm reading from verse 12. For there's no difference of Jew and Greek, for the same Lord of all is rich towards all that call upon him. For everyone whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. Think of names throughout history which have bred fear into men. Warlords, battle leaders, even politicians, presidents of countries. We can think right now, here and now, in this room, of names which breed fear into men. But I wish to speak of a name that speaks purely of love, of compassion, of grace. That's that name of Jesus. But another name like Jesus. What does that name do to you? Challenge, again, when we hear many times, don't we, people taking the Lord's name in vain. Would that really cut to your heart? Or is it something you just pass aside and think that's modern society today and testify that as I speak? But I just wish to look very, very briefly. It's a matter of the name of Jesus. It came to me recently. We were visiting the Commonwealth Air Force Services Memorial at Runnymede. If anybody knows Runnymede, it's Cooper's Hill, overlooks the River Thames, a very tranquil place. And on that hill, there's a memorial to the 20,000 airmen who gave their lives, who lost their lives in the Second World War. Each one is recorded in stone on that big monument there. They gave their lives that we might be free. They gave their lives that we might, they have no known grave. They're recorded on those tablets there. Down in the valley, the River Thames winds its way through Runnymede. And there's an island, Magna Carta Island. Opposite, that's where the great Magna Carta was signed in 1215 by a rather reluctant and a rather evil King John. He bred fear into men's lives. He was a nasty piece of work, for want of a better word. But the barons forced his hand, and reluctantly he signed that great Bill of Rights, which right through from that day, politically, has given us that freedom, those liberties which we have. I wish to think of the liberty which the Lord Jesus has brought us into. Far greater freedom than the politics can give, and even the Magna Carta, and good other life can give, is freedom from our censorship. Our Lord Jesus has set us free. He set us free that we might be in a proper and right and a peaceful and a loving relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus has paid that price. how thankful we are for all those airmen. That's 20,000 people at just one memorial recorded there who sacrificed. And we're very precious and very dear to those loved ones, and we're very, very grateful for that. And we're in any way denigrate what those men did, and women did for us. And think of the Lord Jesus, who did far, far greater. He is the very, very greatest victor. He's fulfilled the very greatest victory that's ever been won. You know, he fought that fight all alone for you and for me. He paid that price of sin. He paid that price of sin. Why am I saying all of this? Why did the Lord Jesus go the way that we have recorded through in Philippians? One who emptied himself, who gave in the all, who humbled himself. Why did he do just that? Because he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Because God loves you. The Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son, God loves you. Loves you so much that he gave Jesus. He gave Jesus. Why is that case? If we look at the relationship between ourselves and God, we look in the Bible, we find right at the very, very beginning of time, Adam and Eve and God, what God desires, that perfect relationship with Adam and Eve. He desired to share everything and that wonderful, and return, receive that love afresh and share everything with Adam and Eve. But sin came in right from the beginning when Eve responded to that voice, the evil voice of that serpent there, that cunning sort of voice. And we see many cunning voices and cunning names, can't we, as well today. And that same sin, that came in, it blocked that relationship between man and God. And it's that same sin of which we're all tainted. It says in the scriptures, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us, like lost sheep, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's two as well. This is the most important thing, that the wages of sin is death. That the act of God, the act of favour of God, is that eternal life and final Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
God loves you so much. God loves you so much. Just want to remain in that sinship. He gave Jesus, his only begotten Son. What wonderful giving. It's the only way that sin can be dealt with once and for all. We read in our scriptures in Acts, there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Might think, well, I can do other things to get back in favour with God, and back in that peaceful condition. I can do good works. I can do many things. I can be very good to my family. And you might say, I haven't done any sin, but each one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the things we've done, the good or bad, and even the things we haven't done, failing to involve God fully in our lives. I mean, we've done that, I've done many times. We've probably sought to do things our own way and only come to God when things go wrong. So the sins of omission, a sense of commission as well, the things we do. You might think, well, how could God ever love me again? You might think, that's the end. When I die, I die. And no, dear friends, I wish to present that bright and blessed hope. And we speak of that in a few minutes, that scripture in Acts, that wonderful prospect of eternal life. Dear friends, it's how vitally important it is to deal with your sinnership. And the only way that can be dealt with is to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Our Lord Jesus came down as a scene. He humbled himself, came down as a little child. He came down in human form. God coming down amongst men, dwelling amongst men in that human form. Think of how wonderful that name. And many people would have responded to that name. Bartimaeus was a good example of him. He was blind. He couldn't see the Lord Jesus, but he heard of him. What that name must have done to Bartimaeus. He came, didn't he, many, many times to that gate. He sat down. All he had was that cloth. But when he heard the Lord Jesus coming along, he responded to his blessed voice. Have you responded to the blessed voice of Jesus? Has that name become precious to him? Have you responded to that name? Bartimaeus did. And he was made whole. He could see, and he followed the Lord in the way. And that's what God desires. It's God's glad tidings. God's glad tidings. The Lord Jesus is the way of returning to God. God's glad tidings concerning his Son. God's desires that we come back into that wonderful, blessed, perfect relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
The only way of doing that is to put your faith and full confiding trust in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord Jesus walked this scene How thankful we are, many we have recorders to us who responded to the Lord's call, who sought out and heard of that precious name and came to him. And the Lord Jesus didn't reject any of them. He'll never reject you, dear friend, if you come to the Lord Jesus right now on bended knee. He'll meet you right there. Think of all things in this world. We're having problems with our telephone at the moment, and we've had engineers come out, and you've got to make this appointment, that appointment, wait for this, wait for that, and you think things are going to be fixed, and they're not. The strange thing is, but the Lord Jesus, you call for Jesus, and he'll meet you there, right there in your need. Now, Lord Jesus, though, had to go to the cross for you and for me. It's the only way that sin could be dealt with once and for all. Well, God, who hates sin so much, but loves a sinner so much, that he gave his only begotten Son. Our Lord Jesus obediently went to the cross for you and for me. He didn't esteem it to objective pride, to be on equality with God. Never ever took that on himself. He was always obedient to God in absolute perfection. He emptied himself. He gave his all. That walked to Calvary's tree, taking on the bondman's form, taking place of the likeness of men. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even to death. How amazing the walk of our Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. He went to the cross for you and me, that we might have our sins removed. Dear friend, it's the only way to come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Everybody is affected at the cross. The nails to his hands and his feet. And he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What amazing words. What amazing words there. And even upon the cross as well, think of the anguish with his hand, nails for his hands and his feet. He could turn around to that malefactor. However, he responded to Jesus' actuality. But how wonderful, how precious that name be to that malefactor. The Lord's own words could say, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He realised who the Lord was. He realised who the Lord is. The one who died for you. He died for me. My Saviour died for me upon Calvary's tree. He paid that price. He paid that price in shedding his precious blood. Think of that soldier piercing the side of Jesus, outflow blood and water. We might say there'd never been an outpouring of blood demonstrated so fully and so greatly at that. Mm-hmm. Have you come under the cleansing, healing power of the precious blood of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Our hymn actually presents things far better than I could ever say. Precious name of Jesus, Son of Man Most High. It goes on, all that he did. Precious name of him who suffered on the shameful tree, gave himself a willing victim. He was willing. Mm-hmm. He was spotless. He was perfect. But dear friends, our Lord Jesus paid that price upon Calvary's tree. But it goes on, you might think, well, was that it? Far, that was just the beginning. Our Lord's own word, it is finished. Our Lord pay the price, exhausted the judgment, exhausted God's judgment. Lord, the God poured upon the Lord Jesus the sins of the whole world, the sins of you and me, all the things that I've done, all the things I've done wrong, all the things I've forgotten to do. The Lord Jesus bore them upon Calvary's tree. But it is finished. Lord Jesus had paid that price. He had accomplished the very greatest victory that's ever been won. The victory over the grave, the victory over death. Mm-hmm. Think of all those 20,000 people recorded. That was to help in achieving the results of the good results of the Second World War. The Lord Jesus paid the price and achieved the very greatest victory that's ever been won. Mm-hmm. Wherefore also God highly exalted him. The Lord Jesus is risen. He's living. He's gone before. It says he granted him a name which is above every name. The name which will live, the name which must live. On that memorial there, lots and lots and lots of names. Precious indeed to the loved ones who lost lives there. But they're just recorded for us. They're their names. But the name of Jesus, in it is a strong tower. Mm-hmm. With the power of the name of Jesus. And it's a name by which God granted them a name. It's above every name. Here we are, the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow. My friends, if you don't come to Jesus as your Saviour, as your living Lord, you have to come to him as your judge. Mm. It's a matter of death we all have to face. But just very, very simply, what is your destination? May it be heavenward.
Mm-hmm.
May it be heavenward. May we be looking onwards and upwards to our Lord Jesus. We have spoke of his imminent return, and may that burn ever brighter in our hearts. So, do you know the Lord Jesus, the living? It's a name which we will see him in actuality. But you can know him right now and come to him. We could just look in Acts 4, just a couple of just brief verses before we one final section to look at. Salvation isn't it none other. Salvation, how important that word is. We need to be saved from that lost peril. Without Jesus, we're hopefully lost. We all need to be saved. Dear friends, don't leave it a minute longer. Come to Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. Ask him that you'll find a whole new perspective to your life. A life returned to Godward. Salvation is in none other. Nothing else. You can't put your faith and trust in your friends. Put your expect to come back to God through. How wonderful it is. Lovely dual living. God-fearing parents. How vitally important that is. But it's something each one of us, young or old alike, have to come to it individually. We have to make that personal transaction with Jesus. And it says, the salvation, the gospel, repentance towards God and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. Repentance is coming to God and saying, I'm sorry. I want to turn my life around, but I can't do it myself. I need help. I need your help. And God directed to Jesus, the man of his choice, the one in whom is found his delight. And put your faith and full confiding trust in Jesus. It's not in anyone else. It's not in any other thing. It's not in your abilities. Can't sit an exam for it. You can't get on the phone for it. Dear friends, come to Jesus. Ask him. Mm-hmm. Charles referred to the call of Jesus last week very effectively. Call to Jesus, and he'll never ever let you down, and he'll come into your life. And salvation is none other, for neither is there another name under heaven which is given among men by which we must be saved. That's an imperative. It's a lot more. You might want to be saved, might not. God's desire all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. How final it is. That's God's desire, that all men should be saved. And if we can look in Romans chapter 10, that's just brought out by just that one scripture. And we can see that as well in John 3:16 as well. It says, whosoever, how vitally important that is. It goes on, for there's no difference in Jew and Greek. The same Lord of all is rich towards all that call upon him. That's to all, how important that is. That everyone whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How important that is. I'm tested, I'm sure we all are. We look around those names which bring fear into men. We can pray for them. How important it is we pray, even for the most violent of offenders. Presidents of countries in Eastern Europe, many other feared battle leaders. What a wonderful result that would be for God.
Mm-hmm.
If you say President of Ukraine, his heart turned, he's not beyond the reach of God. Think of Paul, he was the most feared man of his day. He breathed fear into the man, all he came into contact with, but he had his heart completely changed on the Damascus Road. Saul, one of that persecuted to me, and he could say in his life as well, for me to live is Christ. And I'm tested by that. You might feel probably equally as well, like I feel totally lost, like I'm beyond the love of God, but how important that is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there is some buts about that, there's no uncertainties. I think we're affected this morning by some things we can rely on. We're sung in our opening hymn about the love of God, love of the Lord which we can rely on. But we have to stand on the sure promises of God, which is very clear that the Lord shall be saved. And finally, just like to look at one example. I like to look at the lame man in Acts chapter 3, the one who called on the name of Jesus. I'm not going to read the whole section out. We all know this section here of the lame man. Peter and John were coming along to the gate of the temple. He looked steadfastly upon them, and he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something from them. He thought, they're giving money, or perhaps other sort of things there. But Peter says, silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. How wonderful. You see what happens there. He was made strong. He was made whole by responding to the name of Jesus. And how wonderful it is as well, there's a testimony in this. And I pray that my own life, that there'll be a testimony to others, that the name of Jesus will be ever more precious to me. That I want, like Peter and John here, to convey what they had. They didn't have any money, they didn't have any other things, but they had the love of Jesus in their hearts. Mm-hmm. They knew him as their Lord, and they convey that to them. And that's all I would desire in my own life as well, to be able to do that. Had he walked and leaped and praised God? I'd love to have seen that. What a fine couple that would have been. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They recognised him. It was he. They're filled with wonder and amazement. We just don't know how many others were converted by his testimony there. Mm. It goes on a little bit later on, where they feed and then Peter speaks about the originator of life being slew. It's a direct relation to those who were standing around looking around as well. Again, each one of us came without putting our faith and trust in Jesus. Again, we're tarnished without that name. But here it goes. It speaks specifically to this layman. And by faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you behold and know. The faith which is by him was given in this complete soundness in the presence of all. How wonderful that is. I'd like to know complete soundness. What it is to be able to respond to the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. To be able to know that power. We know that power as well. And to know that name, perhaps, when the difficulties come in life, you're perhaps lying in bed at night and you're not knowing what to do, which way to turn, how precious that name is. How precious is Jesus, our love. They think, well, we're left alone, we can put our faith and trust. We've got the Bible, we've got one another, how wonderful that is. We can share and encourage one another. We can trade the wonderful things of Jesus. But God has given us far more as well. He's given us the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
How fine is the service of the blessed Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, the Lord knew what the disciples were going to face in John, in John's Gospel, and he assured them they'd leave not the peace the world can give, but the peace that he can give. And he assured them this would be reflected by the Holy Spirit, who was a comforter, mm-hmm. who won't be left as orphans. The Holy Spirit can bring to mind everything that Jesus has taught us, mm-hmm. everything that he's said, and bring to mind his preciousness, make him more precious to us. And I need to avail myself much, much more. Which one of us do of the service of the blessed Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The wonderful provision of God. Come to know Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. Come to know him. Come to know him as that precious one. Come to know the strength of him. Find his name.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps when real difficulties come in, you're faced perhaps with some really calamity appearing in your own life. What it is to be able to cite the name of Jesus. What it is to cite his name. Mm-hmm. Lord Jesus, please help me. How wonderful is that name. I've spoken very, very feebly about it, and I'd love to be able to say more, but time's moving on. I just trust that the Scriptures will help us, the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word to us, and that preciousness of Jesus will be evermore. Dear friends, that day is drawing very, very near. We spoke of it in our reading. Oh, does that burn ever brighter in your hearts? Find so often we can get caught up in the cares of this world. It's very easy when you're reading the Scripture to be really, really tested by what we read, isn't it? But how wonderful is that bright and pleasant prospect of seeing our Lord in actuality, just a name, but we'll be able to sing that new eternal song.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust these words just help us and encourage us now, for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.